So last week we began looking at the book of Proverbs together, and we saw at the opening of that book that this invitation to take seriously, the invitation into a life lived well, the path of wisdom, invited to live in a way that recognizes and takes seriously and responds to the way in which God, in God's own wisdom, has made things to be. But if you were to read right through the central chapters of the book of Proverbs, it's a bit like a sort of finger buffet, where there's a bit of this and a bit of that. There's a bit about friendship, there's a bit of parenting, a bit about greed, a bit about justice. And so what we're going to do this morning is to take one of the many recurring themes that can be traced right through the book, certainly across several chapters. And the book of Proverbs offers us lots of examples for us to admire and to imitate, but also gives us examples of how not to live. And today we're going to consider one such bad example, the so-called sluggard. And what we're presented with here is really a caricature, this figure who is larger than life, who is almost cartoonish in their idleness and laziness. Now, laziness is less obviously destructive than some of the other things Proverbs warns about, as it talks about uncontrolled anger or burning envy or lies or abusing power. It's far more subtle than any of those things. In fact, by its very nature, it's almost a way of sleepwalking away from life at its best and fullness, of just quietly drifting away from the paths of wisdom. So we're now going to hear various verses from throughout Proverbs. You'll see the references there on the screen. And Fiona's going to read these verses together as a kind of continuous flow. And you can follow along by all means if you have a Bible in front of you. And the passage will also appear up on the screen. So Fiona.
Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest from your sleep. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. A sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. The craving of a sluggard will be the death of him, because his hands refuse to work. All day long he craves for more, but the righteous give without sparing. A sluggard says, "There's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets." As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. A sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. A sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven people who answer discreetly. Amen.
Thank you, Fiona. Well, let's pray once more before we consider this passage and its theme together. God, our Father, we thank you for your word, and we trust in faith that it has something to say to us, that it can teach us, that it can challenge us, that it can show us things we otherwise would not see. And so we ask that you would speak to us this morning as we consider these colourful verses from the book of Proverbs. And as we pray for ourselves, we remember our children and young people through in the creche and upstairs in Blast, that you would meet with them as they hear stories, as they talk together, as they play together, as we welcome them into our church, that they might catch a glimpse of your character and your concern for each one of them. And we also pray for all the young people at Glenshee this week at the SU camp and the other SU camps and similar events taking place across the country. And we know that there'll be young people there, perhaps away from home for the first time, but certainly encountering the God who speaks through the scriptures for the first time. And we ask that we'd be with those young people and their leaders as they seek to speak for and live for Jesus in this holiday experience together. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. A little sleep, a little slumber. The boss in the office says, "Are you working hard or hardly working?" And everyone kind of awkwardly groans. And as we piece together this composite picture of the sluggard that we find in the book of Proverbs, one thing is very obvious, and that is that work is not high on their agenda. It's simply not happening. The sluggard is contrasted with the industrious ant, the ant who works hard, who just gets on with it without supervision, who does exactly what is needed to ensure its survival and the survival of the whole colony. The sluggard is pictured lying in their bed, reluctant to get up from a self-prescribed duvet day. The sluggard reaches for increasingly implausible excuses to stay at home. There's a lion in the streets. And so they're pictured there, turning in their bed like the door of a hinge, or reaching down into their food bowl, but lacking the basic oomph to raise the food to their lips. And throughout this picture, there are these hints that this easy, ozy, lazy life will not meander on indefinitely, but actually, ultimately, will lead to their complete undoing. The sluggard is someone who is quietly and slowly, but inexorably making their way towards disaster. Just a whole series, a whole succession of small surrenders that will lead them to complete and utter defeat. And so we've got the sluggard, undoubtedly an exaggeration, and someone who shows us just one form of foolishness. But I think in thinking about the sluggard, what we need to do is bring into focus both how we think about work and also how we think about rest. And we're constantly being encouraged to think about balance between these things in our lives, the balance between work, rest, and play in their right proportions. And sometimes we subdivide our time in our head, time for work, time for family, me time, downtime, time with God, and so on. And the reality, I suspect for many of you, is you will find yourself so busy that you will have very little opportunity to feel even relaxed, far less lazy, because there is a constant squeeze on your time. The next thing that is needed, the next demand, the next responsibility. And although we might say that quality time or unhurried time with God or unhurried time with others are good things, precious things even, in part, their value becomes because they're so rare and always under threat. And if you're someone who does work hard, and I know many of you are hardworking people, even if you're retired, you might be asking, well, what does this sluggard have to teach me or show me, apart from possibly making us pray, "I thank you, God, that I'm not like that slacker over there"? What does it have to teach us? Well, I certainly hope it's got more to show us than simply to make us feel better about ourselves. We need to think a little deeper about the sluggards and what their experience has to tell us, both about work but also about rest, and why in the end they cut such a sorry figure. Because when we step back from the sluggard's leisurely existence, when we look at the Bible as a whole, and not least in the book of Proverbs, we see that work is actually a good thing. That productive, energetic, creative activity is not simply something that we have to do in order to survive, But it's actually something that we are called to do as an expression of men and women made in the image of God. It's a response to God's call and God's command. When God made the world and put humanity at the heart of God's good creation, they were immediately set out with a task, with a role, with purposeful activity to do. And so to reach the end of a day and to feel yourself feeling tired, even exhausted, is not necessarily a bad thing in itself. You know, sometimes we make the contrast between those who live to work and those who work to live. But the biblical picture is actually neither of those extremes. Work is something that is part of life, not to be avoided, not a necessary evil, but nor is work all that there is to life. And so this work-shy sluggard in avoiding work is not just avoiding something that God requires. There is a sense in which they're actually missing out on something that God gives to us. And their life is a picture of the unwise life, because they're living in at odds with the way that God has made things to be and all that God has made them for. And so they find themselves in this comfortable way, slowly sliding into a place of struggle and disappointment. But the Bible also has a very high view of rest. God commands that we rest, that we receive one day in seven as a gift, time away from work, time for God, time for one another. And that can be very challenging if you're the hyper-busy, plate-spinning, always-on, never-off kind of person. If you read the Bible and take it seriously, you'll find plenty to challenge you, whether it is the story of creation and the day on which God rested in the light of the good creation that was made, whether it is the commands about the Sabbath given to the people of God, whether it is the words or the example of Jesus. And actually taking time to rest is quite hard, especially if you have convinced yourselves or others have convinced you that you're indispensable, if you've got to the point where life is work, where you live to work. And perhaps, although we would never put it as bluntly as this, it's almost in our thinking where we start to question whether God has really considered whether it is practical or efficient for us to stop and to slow down and to set even one day in seven aside for something other than busyness and work. And the reason this sluggard cuts, in the end, a slightly tragic figure is not only are they failing to work, that's what we noticed first, but they're also missing out on true rest. So they're both passive and restless at the same time. And we notice that in a couple of the middle verses that Fiona read for us. A sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. So this sluggard, who never gives anything of themselves to anything meaningful or to anyone else, but always wants for themselves, finds themselves curiously empty, pumping air into a punctured tire. And we see how that plays out, you know, for many of us, you know, eating nice foods, watching a good film, these are good forms of relaxing, recharging the batteries. And yet when we experience binge eating or binge watching or binge drinking, you can have that strange sensation of feeling emptier than when you began. So the biblical picture of rest is not simply the absence of work or pressure or obligations. It is the positive presence of God and time with others. It is that contrast of having given ourselves in work that we can then receive that rest back as a gift. And the sidelines of that movement of work to rest is the sluggard who offers nothing and finds all that they receive are longings and cravings and an itch that they cannot scratch. The craving of a sluggard will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. All day long he craves for more, but the righteous give without sparing. So there they are, restless, dissatisfied, an existence that is futile, where they neither work nor rest, they don't finish things, they don't start things, and they see in themselves the justification, always to slow down, always to opt out. And so one commentator writing on this theme in Proverbs, Derek Kidner, really captures the essence of all this. He says, the wise man knows that the sluggard is no freak, but as often as not, an ordinary person who has made too many excuses, too many refusals, too many postponements. It has all been as imperceptible and as pleasant as falling asleep. And for us, also ordinary people, you know, we may or may not be in ourselves prone to laziness, but the picture that's given is quite troubling and convicting. Now, what does Jesus have to say to us? What would Jesus say to the sluggard? Well, Jesus invites us to follow him, and in so doing invites us into a life that is active, that is purposeful. A life that at the very least involves a giving of ourselves. A life that is fully awake to the way things are. And Jesus did have time for the sluggards of this world, but he always called them to something more. Called them to things that mattered, but also invited them to know, perhaps for the first time, true rest. Now, that might sound a little abstract, but I mean, speaking personally, this is part of my own story and experience. When I trace through my life, and my autobiography would not be very exciting, but part of that story is recognizing that I'm really a sluggard in recovery, and it wasn't my own get up and go that woke me up to that. And for good measure, Jesus has something to say to us if we find ourselves falling off the other side of a horse. Now, there are some people that we know, some people in this room that no one would ever accuse of being a sluggard, someone who has the industry of the ant, who is always going, always working, always striving, always saying yes, always taking on the next challenge, to the point that they're kind of hovering on a cloud of semi-exhaustion at almost all times. Then we find these words of Jesus that have been cherished by all sorts of people, where he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Again, we find Jesus taking the posture of someone who invites. And the invitation is for those who are knackered, for whom life and all its work and demands and pressures has become a slog. There's that sense of compassion going out to people who may well find themselves at the point where they're discouraged because of all the things that they are trying to be and do, wanting to be good, wanting to please God, to do things right and do them better, and yet for all that, feel themselves burdened with a sense of their own inadequacy and selfishness and sometimes even failure. And to those who come with all that baggage, Jesus presents himself and says, come to me. Come to me. I'll provide both refreshment. Come to me and I will provide all that is needed as you face the future, aware of all these burdens and demands. So the refreshment, those simple words, I will give you rest. And the equipment, all that they will need is, he says, take my yoke, you know, take alongside me the cross piece of the plow upon your shoulders. And of course, we think that what a tired person needs is a hot bath or a cold beer or whatever it is. You say, surely what they need is to look at the sluggard and take a couple of pointers from their playbook. But the way of wisdom is not to say, look, this is how you have a responsibility-free, hassle-free, low-energy escape. You know, the sluggard presses that way and takes it to its logical conclusion. And what they end up with is a very restless place to be in, where in the end they delude themselves. Now, instead, that the way of wisdom recognizes that there is a place for work. And yeah, maybe the sluggard does need a bit of a kick up the backside to get things going. But also there is a place for rest, because both are established by God. Both are needed. Both must find their place. And so Jesus says to the tired, he doesn't offer them the absence of work. He doesn't invite them into the sluggard's world, but he offers them a new way of working, where he is always alongside, always showing what is important, what to do. And there is things to do, and some of it's difficult, but also showing what to let go of. He's inviting those who are weary and burdened into a life where both work and rest can be received as a gift. And without Jesus, of course, we can make things easier for ourselves for a short while. We can take the duvet day. We can enjoy that longed-for holiday. But in the long term, the path of wisdom recognizes that work may be hard, but it's probably not the enemy. And what we're invited to is to carry on, but working alongside Jesus, who doesn't want to deprive us of rest, but actually will lead us to where we'll finally find it and be able to enjoy it. Amen. Let's take a few moments just to pray in response to all of this. God, our Father, you know each one of us, and you know where all the seconds, minutes, and hours of our lives go. And as we consider the sluggard, when we see something of the sluggard in ourselves, we ask that you would help us, that you would lead us into a way of living that is wise, that is not empty and futile, but that is purposeful, where we get to experience life in its fullness and get to live for your glory. We pray that for those who find rest elusive, who find that life always comes with an undercurrent of restlessness, a relentlessness where we can never get off the carousel, we ask that you would show us what Jesus' invitation truly means. That though we may come conscious of the burdens and the weariness, that he truly does invite us into rest. We ask that you would help us in all our working, whether it's work in employment, work as a volunteer, work as a friend or a family member, work as part of this church and all that we try to do. Help us to work well and to work for what matters. And help us also to find rest, that our lives might model to others the sheer goodness and graciousness that you extend to us, where you invite us not to do it all alone, but to depend on you and to discover that you are dependable. And we would pray for those who are in our minds right now, because there is not the freedom right now to choose between work and rest and play, because of the demands of hard circumstances for the person who is in hospital recovering, for the person who is fleeing their home and conflict. We ask that they too might know Jesus' concern for them, that he sees our every burden, and that his invitation is extended to them also, to come to him and to find true rest. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.